This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Think 50s food, and you might conjure up Jell-O salads with a riot of add-ons, or soda pop being put to unnatural uses. In her new book, Something from the Oven, Laura Shapiro deconstructs food from the 50s and the industry that foisted it on American households. She describes how some foods that were developed for soldiers during World War II were successfully transplanted into the home, while others died unappetizing deaths. So canned peaches survived. The canned deep-fried hamburger, thankfully, did not. The frozen fish stick lives on, but lima bean sticks didn't quite make it. Laura Shapiro says the food industry in the 50s tried to convince American women that they didn't enjoy cooking or have time to do it, and that they'd be better off opening up a box or can. Perhaps nowhere was the sell harder than with the packaged cake mix, a product that Shapiro says reconfigured the emotional landscape of domesticity itself.
The American layer cake has symbolized for many, many decades home and family and just the emotional heft of being the woman in the household. It's the cake that comes out for a birthday or an anniversary or a wedding or a party, and it's the cake that says, I am a woman, I love you, here it all is. So to convince women that you could convey that message with a cake mix was a huge task for the food industry.
And they do come up with one possible solution to make women feel that this was still their own creation. That was the egg.
Yes, the consumer psychologist Ernest Dichter was asked to apply himself to thinking about why women were not rushing out to buy cake mixes. And he told them it was because women didn't feel that they had actually actively participated in baking the cake. It was all done for them. They didn't have an emotional investment in it. They couldn't legitimately take pride in it. So he said, leave something out. Don't put in the dried eggs. Have them add fresh eggs. They'll feel like it's their cake, and they will serve it with pride and pleasure. I think one reason the fresh egg theory probably is true is that they make better cakes. Those early cake mixes that were made with dried eggs were sort of horrible. They tasted of dried eggs. The later ones with the fresh eggs really did taste better.
There's a real emotional component that you describe in a lot of this and how women were reacting to these foods in the 50s. And you describe market research that was done of researchers who compiled two grocery shopping lists and presented them to a group of women to evaluate the woman who was behind the list, the fictional woman behind the list. What did they find out?
They made two grocery lists that were identical, except that one of them called for instant coffee and the other one called for real ground coffee. And they gave the instant coffee list to 50 women and the ground coffee list to 50 women and asked them to describe the woman who made each list. The results were devastating to the food industry. Almost to a person, they described the instant coffee woman basically as a slut. She would do any evil thing to get dinner on the table. She probably didn't even have a family. This was a truly horrible person. The real coffee woman was just Mrs. America. She did everything right. She loved her family. She put her whole self into cooking. She was the kind of woman that they all wanted to be. And then they did sort of part two of this experiment. They took those same lists and added a packaged product to each one. It was a canned pie filling. And then they found that both groups of women reacted with the same degree of utter horror to both lists. In other words, even Mrs. America was now this hideous, slatternly creature in a house dress trying to feed her family horrible food. The image of packaged foods was horrible, and the food industry had to refurbish that image.
Well, how did they get around that?
Well, they started a number of strategies. One of them was a technique that really did sweep the country, which was called glamorizing. And that was the idea that you don't just open a can and maybe open another can and put them together so that you're doctoring them up. Everybody already knew how to doctor up canned foods. Glamorizing took it a step further. Glamorizing was that you added a product that was a little bit pricey or exotic. It might be frozen strawberries, or it might be canned pineapple, or maybe canned shrimp. Something went in there and turned this otherwise pedestrian dish into company cooking.
Well, these products do seem to make their way onto many, many tables throughout the 50s. And you describe some of the uses that are suggested for these products. I wonder if you could read some of these excesses, maybe, of 50s cooking. I'm thinking about the bottom of page 57.
Each recipe was wholly enthralled to the product being promoted. Hence, canned fruit cocktail was reborn as a coleslaw ingredient. Peanut butter forged its way into stuffed sweet potatoes, and frozen lemonade made a surprise appearance in salad dressing. A cook who actually decided to follow the suggestion in a Heinz booklet and fold a quarter cup of ketchup into beaten egg whites, thus arriving at a ketchup meringue, might well have wondered what on earth to do with it until the concept of spreading a topping over a meat pie swam into focus.
Did you find any evidence that people were actually making these recipes that the industry was proposing?
Some of the things that were created under the rubric of what I call packaged food cuisine, the food like that, some of that food really did become classic American food. My husband grew up with Spam baked with canned peaches, and I've heard from people whose mothers served them a mock jambalaya made with Vienna sausage. Some of that food entered our repertoire, but a lot of it stayed right where it was invented, namely the media. I mean, the food was invented in test kitchens. It was promoted through the food media, and it pretty much stayed there. And I saw this acted out in the same newspaper spread, for instance, in newspaper food sections. You'd see a big ad for something like a Welsh rarebit made with Cheese Whiz. Now, that would have come right out of the food industry, and there might even be a picture of it credited to some food industry supplier. Then you'd have a recipe sent in by a reader. A lot of the newspapers had recipe contests, and you would get $1 or $5 if your recipe became recipe of the day. Well, when you look at those recipes of the day, they are real food. They're meatloaf. They're smothered chicken. They are liver and onions. They are the things that people were cooking and eating. So my point really is that while the food industry had its way with us in some ways, it was not completely successful. Women wanted to cook. Women had to cook. Women felt obligated to cook. The traditional foods that they had always cooked were going to be there. They were going to be in the kitchen, and they survived.
Laura Shapiro, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Laura Shapiro's book is Something from the Oven, Reinventing Dinner in 1950s America. You can read an excerpt from the book on our website, npr.org.